It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown. It's the best of the worst. B-movie breakdown.
You're gonna do it in the little girl voice.
I was.
Do it.
Fine, fine. Lady Ace to Jack Flack. Do you read me? This is what I mean by embarrassing. Welcome to the B-Movie Breakdown. My name is Kim Gardner, a.k.a. Lady Ace.
Welcome to the B-Movie Breakdown, episode number 69. Woo! 69.
Dirty, dirty.
We should have watched, like, a dirty movie for this one, like, one of the, some of Edie's, like, stupid comedy, like Screwballs, or
Color of Night.
Anything on Cinemax.
Like, Ski School, just a movie full of boobs. Hot Dog the Movie.
Watch it for the plot.
Yep. So many plots.
Such plots.
Such plots. So the B-Movie Breakdown is a weekly podcast where we find the humor and enjoyment, low-budget, lesser-known films of the past and present, home of the good, the bad, the what the fuck. Each week's movie will be revealed on the prior episode, so you two can join in on the madness. Most of the movies are available on Netflix, just like this week's movie was available on Netflix. Check it out on there. You can listen to us if you subscribe on iTunes, on our website, bmbpodcast.com, or on Stitcher. You can reach us on our website, our email, bmbpodcast@gmail.com, or on Twitter at bmbpodcast, and on Facebook. We've had some suggestions lately, some better than most. Even though one, everybody was very adamant about not watching, I still think it'd be hilarious to watch it. But who knows? Maybe we'll get to it one day. But this week, you might have wondered what I was doing in the beginning. It was a wonderful impression that I was doing of the character Kim Gardner from the movie Cloak and Dagger from 1984.
I'd call it an homage.
Homage. Yeah, she was quite the character. She was like a little child that apparently had smoked way too many cigarettes.
She was like an 8-year-old.
She was just like
girl
the, like,
that was, well, no, she was like 10-ish, but she was almost like a 34-year-old, like.
Yeah,
she was wise beyond her
years.
Yeah,
she was like the 8-year-old, like, smart kid sister type that knows everything, but she wasn't his sister. She was just neighbor. And
she just dug whiskey and cigarettes.
Yeah, and she's talking, it's not fair. Jack always escapes. How does he do it, Morris?
Get me a lotto ticket.
Yeah, she's very like,
it's only a dollar.
Affected, yeah, I'm just.
Yeah, she definitely played the part as far as being
bizarre.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me what she was able to get away with considering her slut of a mother.
I mean, this is her now.
That's why is her name different than what you were.
What do you mean?
Wait.
This is, she played Kim Gardner in the movie.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
She was in Twilight Zone the movie.
She didn't die by helicopter.
She played a little girl in segment number 4.
That's kind of weird that she was in Twilight Zone, considering I was watching that.
Yeah, we were talking about it. She was in The Sword and the Sorcerer.
Golden Earring also thought it was weird.
She wasn't in too many things. She was on some episodes of Mr. Belvedere.
Hmm.
A show called Out of This World. Does anybody remember this show?
No.
No.
What was that? Aliens?
I have no idea. But she was apparently on this TV show. It was an American fantasy sitcom about a teenage girl who is half alien. Who gives her unique superpowers. Which gives her unique superpowers. It was a syndicated TV show.
It sounds really familiar.
In the 80s.
Wait, I kind of do remember that.
She wasn't the star, though. She was just on it.
Well, that's lame.
The girl who played the main character looks a lot like, what's that girl? She's in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Blonde.
Oh, Kristen
Bell. Yeah, looks like her. And the girl who from this movie looks nothing like how she did in the movie on the show.
Considering also she was a child.
Yeah, but this movie was made, like, this show was made, like, 3 years later, but she looks like she grew up a lot in three years.
The show.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's just very, like, whatever, I'm 12, I don't even care, over it.
Damn, this show ran for, like, 4 years. It's pretty, Burt Reynolds was on it.
Out of This World?
I don't remember this show, Burt Reynolds?
He was itching for a paycheck.
I guess. Who knew? Who knew?
Smokey and the Bandit 5 fell through.
Wait, let me see if I... Oh, I do...
And this girl was also on Harry and the Hendersons, the TV series.
She was Harry.
I remember...
Hey, what are you doing? I'm just a Bigfoot.
I remember it, but I never watched it.
What?
I remember it, but I never watched it because I was too busy watching Small Wonder.
Small Wonder, that show sucked.
Whatever!
It was weird.
You sound pretty convincing.
Vicky the robot girl.
I am a robot.
Gay neighbor boy. And then there was Harriet, and it had the red fucking bowl cut extreme bangs, and then a fucking fountain ponytail on top.
I'm not familiar with this at all.
Here's your new sibling. It's a robot.
Right.
Get used to it.
Your dad made this robot girl who looks like a normal girl, but is a robot.
I am Vicky.
Oh, such weird science.
You never seen Small Wonder?
No.
Ever?
They didn't make a girl out of nothing. She was a robot. And Weird Science, she's just like, they make her out of like, using a Barbie doll and nuclear, tapping into the nuclear reactor facility.
Science.
Such nuclear.
They just use Weird Science, just say that.
Yep, they just use Oingo Boingo.
Yeah.
All over the place.
That was
weird. Put bras on your head and then you'll materialize a full-grown woman.
Actually, it's weird. I'm looking at the IMDb page right now, and it says people who liked Cloak & Dagger also liked... And it lists a few movies, and one of them being The Warriors. And I just learned that the guy who played Cyrus in The Warriors died. Literally today. Like, hours ago.
But he died in the movie.
The Warriors killed him. It was The Warriors. Anyways, the guy who played Cyrus died. He's like the only thing he ever did.
I thought it was the dude from Commando that killed him. Sully.
Sully from Commando. It was him. But, yeah, that's crazy. And Harold Ramis died yesterday.
Fuck!
February is awful.
Yeah.
And Philip Seymour Hoffman.
He did it to himself.
I mean, come on, but still.
Heroin overdose, autoimmune disease. Harold Ramis wins.
I agree. Ghostbusters.
I mean, even if you didn't compare to how they died, Harold Ramis, Philip Seymour Hoffman, I think Harold Ramis takes the cake. Way over. No offense to the deceased.
I like both equally.
But I cannot say I liked both equally. For Philip Seymour Hoffman, he was in some alright movies.
He wasn't in Caddyshack or Stripes.
Yeah. Didn't write every like amazing movie I loved as a child.
As much as I love
I didn't have
Meatballs,
I
d- Gina.
I didn't,
Meatballs.
I didn't have I Philip those... Seymour Hoffman action figures as a child.
This is true.
As much as I loved those movies as an adult, I was a girl in the '80s. A girl, little girl. And I've not watched.
And you didn't
Caddyshack.
Watch National Lampoon's Vacation?
I was partial to John Hughes.
What about the vacation movies?
No.
Harold Ramis created those.
You never watched
Christmas Vacation.
I always
Vacation.
Had some sort of, like, I just really was not into Chevy Chase as a little kid. I loved John Candy and Dan Aykroyd, but I didn't.
Well, then you were all up just watching Caddyshack 2, then, because Dan Aykroyd's in that one, so you can go watch the crap version.
I've never seen Caddyshack 2.
Well,
have you ever seen Caddyshack?
Yeah, but not in a really long time.
Good movie, Dangerfield.
Wait,
what?
No.
He had a radio in his golf bag.
No. He did.
And that's tight.
Rennie Dangerfield's the best.
That's ballin'. Back to school all day.
I absolutely hate. I love Ladybugs.
How can you hate Rennie Dangerfield? He's amazing. Ladybugs is a terrible movie. If it was anybody else in that movie, it'd be terrible.
Something was wrong with that. The eyes, and I just hated
well,
the...
Well, yes, there was something wrong with the eyes.
I just hated his whole, like, his whole shtick where he...
And Rover Dangerfield? About the dog? Harold Ramis wrote that movie.
I just
back to Harold Ramis.
His whole shtick.
So many degrees of Harold Ramis.
So many degrees of Harold Ramis.
Egon, you will be missed.
He will be greatly missed. He did some great movies.
Let's not talk about the movie we watched. Let's just talk
about Harold Ramis.
Well, I mean, it had what's-his-face, Henry Thomas. That's not his name.
Yeah, who was in E.T.
Is that his name?
And E.T. relates to Steven Spielberg, who directed...
movies like Harold Ramis did.
Movies just like Harold Ramis did.
There were,
But yes, Henry Thomas was in Cloak & Dagger. He played the main character, Davy Osborne. His father was played by Dabney Coleman, who also played his imaginary friend, Jack Flack. Dabney Coleman, we have previously... you guys didn't watch it, but it was before you were on the podcast. We had watched the show Meet the... holy shit, I can't fucking remember the name of the movie now. I'll have to look it up. And anyways, Dabney Coleman, he was in just a billion different things. But he, growing up, I remember him being in the Beverly Hillbillies movie. He played Mr. Drysdale in it. But we watched the movie Meet the Applegates, and he is in Meet the Applegates. So we've watched a Dabney Coleman film already.
I remember him from Tootsie. He's in
Tootsie. He's a lot of stuff. Pretty recognizable guy.
Yeah.
Principal Prickly on Recess.
Principal Prickly?
Yeah, you ever watched Recess?
Yeah, kind of.
Whatever. I'm bummed because nobody wanted to talk about Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, yeah, he was 9 to 5, too, right? He was like the evil boss.
He was the boss, yep.
Who's the boss?
Dabney Tony Coleman. Danza.
Or Angela.
D'Angelo is the boss. That is true. Was always. Murphy Brown is the boss.
Murphy Brown sucks.
Whatever. She was the first independent woman on TV. She had a baby out of wedlock in the 90s. That was big.
I remember.
I thought that was...
it was Murphy Brown.
On the show, she had a baby was Murphy Brown. Out of wedlock.
Candace Bergeron. Yeah, Tom Bergeron's wife.
Candace. She's 80 years old now.
She's old. Saturday Night Live alum.
Mm-hmm.
And you know who else was in Saturday Night Live? Bill Murray. You know what movie Bill Murray was in?
Was it Caddyshack? Was it a Harold Ramis movie?
And Groundhog's Day. Who wasn't in those movies? Philip Seymour Hoffman. You know who was? Henry Thomas, playing with an alien. You know what else he did? He played Atari in this movie.
Remember how E.T. is in this movie?
E.T. is in this movie. And I have to feel like Atari... paid for some of this movie to be made.
Well, I told you, I was reading the trivia about it, and there was a game already ready for the shelves called Agent X, and since they already had the video game tie-in with the movie, they bought the rights to the Agent X game and renamed it Cloak and Dagger, and then changed, what's-his-face's name? The figment of his imagination, Jack Flack, they changed his name to Agent X, or at least they referred to it, because he mentioned, do you remember when I was Agent X in so-and-so situation? So they tied it into the game that they bought just for the movie.
Hmm. Yeah, and I didn't know which exactly Atari system this was in the movie. It was Atari 5200. That was being played in the movie.
I know it well. Those were the days.
The elderly couple in the movie were actually married in real life for approximately 56 years.
Did they also die in an exploding plane?
No, didn't die in an exploding plane.
Old age? That's so boring.
And another weird thing, the elderly couple, who were married for 56 years in real life, both had parts in the original Psycho. And then Richard Franklin... who directed this movie, went on to direct Psycho 2, and then Henry Thomas would go on to play a young Norman Bates in Psycho 4.
Psychotic.
Psychotic, indeed. I've never seen Psycho 4.
I didn't even know there was a Psycho 4.
I just remember the one with Vince Vaughn.
That was a remake.
That's the
yeah, I know.
Only time anybody's
seen the original one. I never knew Psycho 2.
I knew as far as Psycho 2. I didn't know they made anything further.
Yeah, no. Apparently they did. Anthony Perkins come back for all of them?
There are some franchises. I'm just going with the first one and a remake. That's all you're gonna get out of
it.
Anthony Perkins was in all of them. I mean, why not, right? Psycho 3 was made in 86. What a... That's such a long...
When was Psycho 2 made?
83. What a long time to make a sequel.
The first one
23 years.
Okay.
60. That seems appropriate.
That's like, I guess it's almost similar to like the original Texas Chainsaw. They didn't make a sequel for like 10 years. And then Tobey Hooper was like, well, let's make a satire.
For part 2?
Yeah. Yeah. And Psycho 4 was a TV movie. Psycho 4 at the beginning.
That doesn't even count. It's like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Next Generation, with Matthew McConaughey.
No, we don't need to talk about that movie, Ryan.
What?
We don't need to talk about that.
Sorry.
Oh,
it's a bad movie.
He had a mechanical leg.
He did. He moved it with a rope.
And Renee Zellweger.
Yeah, she was going to prom, and all of a sudden, you got Leatherface, and he's a transvestite.
You've never seen that?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, we should watch
it
sometime.
The Next Generation, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
With Matthew McConaughey.
Texas Chainsaw Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, it's Texas Chainsaw 4, essentially.
The Next Generation.
I'll pretend that didn't happen.
Well, we'll watch it.
It was one of those movies that I saw, and it's not often where I don't feel like I can finish a movie. That was one of them.
Oh, I remember seeing it when I was younger, like on HBO.
What year?
93, maybe?
Something like that, yeah. It was an early McConaughey film. It might have been before Dazed and Confused, I don't know.
I'm so proud of him. I just think he's awesome.
Alright. 94 was Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Next Generation. Boom. Zellweger, McConaughey, vehicle.
Weird.
Yeah.
I'll look at
Anyways, this. Back to Cloak and Dagger, which we keep straying so far away from. The movie starts off, and it's like a spy movie. You see this guy come in with an American flag parachute. he zips it into his backpack. He's got cigarette darts. He's got...
Triple X.
A saw watch. People are being stabbed.
A sheik accidentally stabbed himself.
A woman goes to shoot him. She gets shot in the chest via ricochet.
That was hilarious. She's like, shoot you. Well, no, ricochet.
He had a bulletproof beret.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. I didn't notice that. I noticed the watch with the
saw.
He took the
head off to, like, an attempt to bow to her, but he knew her game. So when she went to shoot him, he deflected the bullet with his beret.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty fucking OG.
And then all
Secret
of a sudden,
Agent.
Giant red and yellow blocks start rolling down the street.
Right.
And it's like, okay, this movie isn't about a spy.
Fourth
that
wall
thought.
Broken.
It's all about D20s.
It's about D20s.
Yeah, that was pretty
and
much.
And it's kids actually playing a game. They're playing a game of the Atari game that they play, but they've turned it into their own little role-playing game. It's not any sort of sanctioned. They built some sort of like a little like terrarium type of deal going on. What are those things called that you made in school?
Diorama.
Diorama, that's what I was thinking. Why did I say terrarium?
That's the same thing.
That's the same, yeah.
It's similar. Yeah.
Terrarium usually has something
like
live.
Living.
Yeah. So it was like you got your diorama, they were playing the little game. Henry Thomas's character, Davey, is always winning. He's upsetting
his...
He made
the fucking game.
Yeah,
that's
he made
why.
The game. I think that Morris guy made the game. He was creepy. They
yeah,
were,
what was that?
They were somehow friends.
He was B.
You know who
in
that was?
Nutshell.
Holy shit. I knew I recognized
him. You look familiar.
It was William Forsythe.
That's weird.
That is fucking really weird.
That's really weird.
I was like, the whole time, I'm like, who? That he looks so.
Who
fucking,
is this fucking neckbeard?
But the beard was throwing off.
That's
probably.
Like when
that's
people,
before he was even in, like, Raising Arizona and shit.
It's like
jeez.
When people creep you out and you don't. You're like, what? Why?
Yeah, that was William Forsythe. Holy crap.
That is.
And I remember seeing Bill Forsythe in the thing, and I was like, oh, I wonder if that's William Forsythe. And I never saw him in the movie, so I was like, I guess it wasn't him. It was just somebody with the name Bill Forsythe instead of William Forsythe. Like, oh, that's kind of weird. But, yeah, wow, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, he looked rough.
Yeah, the way his character looked, I would imagine him as a Bill. I would hope he was intent on being billed as Bill.
Yeah, I still don't understand how that was their friend. Their parents terrible parents in this movie. Just let them go to the mall by themselves.
Well, with the friend thing, let's get back to that. I mean, the kid was obviously very obsessed with the gaming, whether it be tabletop or in the
guy owned a gaming store.
Yeah. So I can see how they made that connection.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's not too far-fetched.
But the guy couldn't have been friends with anybody else his own age?
Well, listen,
he was definitely an Aspie.
There's a lot of things that happen in this movie that if in this day and age, if even came close to occurring, everyone in this situation would be arrested or dead.
Yes. So. It was just very over the top. In the beginning, they go to get these pamphlets or catalogs for Morris from the Textronics,
which I was always
technology company. I don't know, whatever the fuck they are.
It was Textronics.
Textronics.
Tectonic. How?
Why would they just give these kids this information?
I thought that they were going to get Twinkies.
Okay, they were, but they also were going to get these catalogs.
Because
kids can just walk up to any counter and ask for things.
Can we please have the files?
Yeah.
And some change for the food machine? What did you call it?
Where's the food machine?
Where's your food machine?
Where's your food machine?
Does it vend cigarettes?
Yeah. When's the flight takeoff? Can you tell me?
And then they have walkie-talkie thing.
Oh, yeah. The Lady Ace, Kim, and Davey. He didn't have a nickname other than Jack Flack. I think that's what the name he went by.
Yeah.
Too many people were Jack Flack. His dad was Jack Flack at the end of the movie. His dad, Jaden Danby, come played Jack Flack. Jack Flack was in an Atari game wearing a creepy overcoat.
Similarly titled to the film.
Cloak and Dagger.
Just a few iterations there.
So, when they go to get the catalogs, though, you were talking about how kids that couldn't get away with some of this stuff. He's running through the lobby with a toy gun.
It was a
BB gun.
It was a very realistic. No, it was a squirt gun.
It was like a
I thought he was putting BBs into it.
The red.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he put fake blood in it, and then was running around by the gun.
It was in like the same shape. Container with the nozzle that BBs would come in the thousands.
Yeah,
I thought it was a BB gun when he.
No,
was
it was just
it.
I mean, back then, toy guns were more convincing.
Right,
I had plenty of toy guns that
looked
more convincing than nowadays. I'm sure they all. I mean, they used to always sell a lot of them with orange tips, anyways, and then you just spray paint it.
Doing hood rat stuff with my friends.
So you'd spray paint the orange tips.
But he was like crawling, army walking through like the lobby of a. Major metropolitan building.
It was like Silicon Valley Junior.
Yeah. And then because he had this imaginary friend, a lot of the movie I wasn't sure if things were actually happening or if it was real. But everything in this movie actually happened. It wasn't all just in his imagination, like, oh, he was grounded and like he just came up with a scenario.
Or
he
was mentally ill.
But all the guidance he was receiving was definitely a figment of his imagination.
Yes.
We cannot rule out the fact that this kid was crazy.
Yeah,
why is he crazy for having an imaginary friend?
Because
his friend told him to kill people.
He did tell him to kill people, and he did shoot a person.
He killed somebody.
He did kill a person.
But that person was going to kill him. Self-defense,
Ryan. It doesn't matter if it was self-defense. His imaginary friend told him, pick up the gun. Pick up the gun.
Self-defense.
I'm not saying it wasn't self-defense, but he had somebody that wasn't there telling him what to do, guiding his every move.
Yeah, it was definitely some drop-dead Fred, but about video games going on.
Right.
I guess drop-dead Fred never told anybody to kill anybody, so...
No, he just said, pancaked his face in a refrigerator.
No, it just said when you're having a nervous breakdown in your late 20s, take a bunch of pills, and then your imaginary friend will go away. That's what Drop Dead Fred is about.
It works for most people.
Yeah, just pills.
And go marry that guy that makes salad, loves the salad you make all the time, whatever his name is.
Tim Matheson from Animal House.
Yep.
And you know who wrote Animal House?
Harold Ramis.
Damn it.
It all comes back.
I love Drop Dead Fred. Did you ever watch that for this?
No.
No.
We could.
I mean,
it's a pretty
borderline.
It is. It's a pretty wacky
cult-ish
movie. It's definitely a cultish type of wacky.
I don't think 90s I realized comedy. What that was about until we watched it. I watched it older when it came on Netflix, and I was like, oh, fuck. Like, she's totally losing her shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like crazy shit. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. it. That is what this movie. But this was like.
But yeah, and then the kid. Weirder. The kid, he.
More violent.
This kid witnesses a murder. He sees it happen, somebody being beat up, it looks like, in a window. He sees the reflection of the window. And this guy, scientist, FBI type of guy, comes out, help me!
Yeah, he doesn't even, like...
Take this! Run! And he gives him an Atari video game.
Tell the FBI!
A Cloak and Dagger video game.
Tape.
A tape. It was a tape.
They kept calling it tape, and when I was a kid, I had Nintendo, but I also had an Atari. My parents had it, before I was born. But, like, I never heard anybody call fucking...
Not a cartridge.
It's because they weren't tapes. They were cartridges.
Yeah, I never heard anybody call it a tape.
There weren't any moving
parts.
I feel like
that's something my grandma called it.
Give me that
like,
tape.
There's your Nintendo tapes. Put in the Mario tape.
Grandma, this is 2005.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, there's still people that call every video game system a Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens.
That
it
is
definitely
true.
Happens.
Well, at least
still.
They're living in the glory days of Nintendo.
Yeah, true. Well, Nintendo just cornered that market where they were just the top one for a long time. Well, I'm sure there's some people that might say, though, turn on the Sega. The Sega. I always hated when people would say Sega.
Sega?
Yeah.
I'd say Sega. Yeah.
Sega?
I never said Sega.
I always said Sega.
Sega.
I said Sega.
Like the Sega Genesis?
Yeah.
Sega?
I said Sega.
Sega always sounded more Jap to me, so I stuck with that.
Yeah. There wow. And the commercials would be like, Sega! They wouldn't say, Sega!
Oh, wow.
It just doesn't sound good.
Whatever.
It just doesn't sound good.
It's a little okay.
Anyways, the kid witnesses a murder. He watches this guy get shot numerous times right in front of his face.
And then fall down a bunch
the guy
of flights
falls
stairs.
Down a fucking stairwell. And then they start shooting at this child. This movie is full of grown men shooting at a child.
Wearing sweatsuits.
Wearing a sweatsuit and or members only jacket. Shooting a small child or trying to stab him.
I'm punching through a door to
yes.
get to him.
The kid, he tries to tell everybody this is happening. Of course, nobody believes him because he's just a fucking kid. So it's just like, oh, you know, fuck this kid. He's making this shit up.
He's whack.
He already has an imaginary friend. Why should we believe this whack job?
Who would ever try to murder a child?
Yeah, who would murder a child? You know, it's just a kid that's running around with a gun all day. Everyone thinks he's crazy. I mean, he is kind of crazy. He has the fucking imaginary friend, who is also played by Danny Coleman, who plays his dad. I'm not sure if I mentioned that. Even the cop that drops him off later says... you might want to consider some help for this, for your child. And when he tells
crackers.
The cop who did it, and he's like, I don't know, some sort of Nazis or something. Just like he immediately jumps to Nazis.
Nazis probably,
yeah.
Obviously.
Maybe they were Russians.
But the kid has clearly, I don't, see, you're saying that he's crazy and that he has this imaginary friend to tell him to kill people, but he developed this imaginary friend because his dad, like, doesn't spend enough time with him.
His daddy issues.
So
there were a lot of underlying factors throughout
yeah,
the movie.
So he has daddy issues. So, like, he... The,
and mommy issues.
Well, yeah, the mom's...
Dead.
His mom has passed away. And...
She's dead.
So, yeah, she's dead.
Yeah, she's taking a dirt nap.
Yeah, taking
thanks,
a dirt
Gina.
Nap. Like Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh.
Yeah.
His mom died of a heroin overdose.
Wow.
Yeah, we didn't know how the mom died. They never said.
Yeah, and for the record, it wasn't that, so...
We don't know. Mm. She could have.
We don't know.
We don't know.
She was addicted to OxyContin.
She was addicted to Atari 2600.
Yeah.
She died
heroin.
Playing E.T., and then the kid went on to play Elliot.
Mom
or he
loved
played
the
opiates. Elliot,
the
E.T.
How
came
was
out
this
before
not,
this.
I wonder if this is just an extension of E.T.,
his name wasn't Elliot.
His name was
Davey.
He was all fucked up from having been affiliated with a space being.
Where was Drew Barrymore?
In the years before this movie was created.
Yeah, where was Drew Barrymore? Why wasn't she in this movie?
She was reincarnated into the 36-year-old body of that 8-year-old girl.
I mean, this movie came out two years after E.T., so what, Drew Barrymore was probably doing a lot of coke and heroin at the time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
At the ripe old age of 10.
No, well, that's when she started. Little girl lost. Well,
she's doing fine now.
Yeah, she's whatever. There's kids or something. Tom
she's
Green.
Fine now, right? She makes movies now, right? I don't know. What was the last movie she was in? I don't know.
The Wedding Singer.
I don't know. I just
Fever Pitch?
Yeah, that's it.
It's the last movie I watched with her.
Charlie's right? Angels 2 or 3 or 4.
Yeah, those movies are absolutely
with Bill
awful.
Murray.
Charlie's Angels movies are movies we should watch on here because especially the second one is fucking insane. It is one of the most insane movies I've ever seen in my entire life. It's a movie that makes absolutely zero sense and it's like 500 music videos shoved into a movie. Because it's just like, oh, now they're nuns, and now they're on motocross bikes, and now they're doing this, and now they're doing this, and now this, and oh, here's Bernie Mac, because he replaced Bill Murray.
Yeah.
And that makes sense, because they're brothers, but they're black. But he's black. And now Shia LaBeouf's in this movie, he has a giant fro, and now he's adopted by Bernie Mac. And then it's a fuck.
But
that
when
movie's
Bill Murray was in it, you know who else he was associated with?
He's trying to do the
Crispin
Harold
Glover,
Ramis thing again.
Who was in Back to the Future with Michael J. Fox.
I don't care.
Who was in Family Ties, which was a TV show. And you know what else was a TV show? The real Ghostbusters. You know what that was based off of? Ghostbusters written by Harold Ramis.
Thank you.
I took it the long way. I like how you were like looking at me like, where the fuck are you going?
Please, please come back.
I could have linked you to Christopher Lloyd. That might have been easier.
Camp Nowhere, which is where that whole joke went. Nowhere.
We don't want to talk about Camp Nowhere
right
now.
I loved Camp Nowhere.
No, you didn't. Nobody
yeah,
loved Camp Nowhere.
I did. I
everybody
loved it.
Everybody loved Heavyweights, not Camp Nowhere.
I watched Camp Nowhere, and I was in love with the Australian boy that played guitar in that movie.
I did like Camp Nowhere.
Yeah.
More than Ooh, Heavyweights?
I hate Ben Stiller.
Yeah, I did like Camp
Major
Nowhere
Pain.
More than Heavyweights.
Even as a child?
Yeah. We're older than you, Corey.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Dick's dragging in the dirt.
But anyways, Heavyweight's way better than Camp Nowhere. I saw Camp Nowhere in theaters when it came out. I know all about Camp Nowhere.
Whoa.
I was pumped because Christopher Lloyd was in it. Okay.
That's the only last thing
he
I remember
brushed
him being.
A door jam with his toothbrush.
Yeah, that's the last thing you remember Christopher Lloyd being in?
Yeah.
He's been in a lot of stuff. He was in Piranha 3D and Piranha 3
no,
Double D.
No, that did not happen for my eyeballs.
He was in The Birds.
No,
he's not.
That's Francis Face Dern.
Yeah.
What am I thinking of?
You're probably thinking of The Burbs, but you're wrong. This is what's happening.
Yeah, Christopher Lloyd's not in The Burbs. There's
okay.
a lot of movies, but not The Burbs.
Okay.
Anyways, back to the movie. The dad, they have a really shitty relationship. The kid hates his dad. And then, like, how he was telling his dad when he's playing the game, he's like, I gotta play the game, I gotta see why this guy wanted this so bad, and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, a man was killed for this, Dad.
Right.
A man was killed for this. And his
I
dad
play
could
it
give,
one time.
He could give two fucks.
Well, then it didn't help his case that it took whatever many levels.
Yeah, it took like
to
500
to
levels
to
get to the, yeah.
And so if you're trying to support the theory that someone's trying to kill you over the tape that you're carrying around with you.
One thing I wanted to know, too, was what does the little girl's mom think about all this?
She wants
she
to
just
fuck
wants
the
to
dad.
Fuck
the
dad.
Dad clearly has some issues with the whole spy thing and, like, his kid's over, his imagination is just off the wall. And his dad is frustrated with it, but the mom of the little girl seemed to not care. She's a slut. She just wanted to do...
Yeah.
The little girl had to give her some... Drop some knowledge on her. He's not your type, Mom.
He's in the military or something.
Yeah, like, I don't know. She was very...
Go give me some ball balls, Mom.
And then all of a sudden, the dad leaves to go to work. And... The kid goes back inside. And... A baseball comes flying through the window. It was his baseball.
It was a grenade.
How they figured out where he lived based off of... I guess they could look it up in the phone book.
Yeah,
but little kids'
him?
Names aren't in the phone book.
No, not
but the last
things.
Name.
Yeah, how many you know people they probably named Osborne in the San Antonio area?
Yeah.
More than one.
That he had the name on the baseball. Yeah, they just tracked him down, I guess.
Yeah. So they tracked...
The local school
They tracked him down... And these bad guys come barging through the house,
wanted.
Busting down the windows,
Sweatsuits.
Busting through, the one guy busts through the fucking door like it's a horror movie. It was like, yeah, it was like scary as fuck. It was like, what the hell is going on in this movie?
The other guy like got his hand in the window and then was just kind of like flopping his arm.
He kind of just posed there.
Yeah, he didn't really doing much. The other guy had all the force and punching through walls and shit.
And then these guys were just ridiculous. One thing I want to mention real quick before, when he brings the game to Morris and Morris is like, oh, there's a microchip inside this. And he unscrews the game and he figures out he gets like a huge boner when he's like playing it. He's like jumping up and down. He's like playing it.
Yeah, it was just, he's like shaking.
Yeah, it was very weird.
The hands on the joystick were not visible, so it just looked really bizarre.
Just really weird things going on. But the bad guys end up kidnapping Kim and they tell Davey if he tells anyone, they're gonna break her in half.
Yeah.
Like, this movie is so overly violent towards kids. And it's a children's movie. Which, granted, when we were growing up, kids' movies were a lot different. And I love that about kids' movies.
Yeah.
But this movie, like, took it to a different level.
Yeah, it was, like outright abusive.
Because you get Gremlins or, like, Little Monsters.
Mischievous.
Or, like, something like that, where it's kind of fucked up, but it's not, like, too fucked up.
Yeah. My doll was fucked up,
I'd say the closer thing to this.
Mandel is fucked up.
One thing that could possibly be anywhere near close to this would be Monster Squad.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like monsters trying to kill kids, so it's like, I guess,
it's a little... It's not realistic violence.
Yeah. It's not as... Yeah, it's not realistic. You got, like, the fucking mummy and the wolfman and the creature in the Black Lagoon running after them. Instead of guys with machine guns and, knives and everything else, they're just running around trying to kill these kids.
And there is, like, part of it where you're thinking that he's still imagining it, but once it switches and you realize what's happening, it's like, dude, what? So I guess maybe they thought it would be okay if it was like, well, maybe not trying to kill them, but...
But he totally is, though, the whole movie.
So it's like ultimately, that is the case.
If it ended where it was just all him playing the game...
Right.
Then, whatever, it wasn't absurd. But
he's going to have to live the rest of his life knowing that he killed a man.
Yeah.
And that he was being chased down and watched a man be murdered, watched multiple people be murdered.
Yeah.
Oh, and a plane blew up and killed some geriatrics.
Yeah.
attempted kidnapping by old elderly people.
His one really good friend was murdered. He had to lay in the trunk with the dead body for a couple times.
Yeah.
It he had to go through some really dramatic things.
That's normal.
In this movie. And the one guy who was one of the main bad guys, Mr. Rice, he was really creepy and zombie-like. He was very just like...
Yeah,
whoa.
I don't know what that was. Just a lot lurching up to him.
Yeah, it was very, very weird. And then when they're chasing the kid, they're chasing him in a van. They try to hit him with the van.
Yeah.
At one point, and the kid just runs off. I like when he just ran off the bus. The bus driver didn't even stop and let him off. He just kept driving.
Tuck and roll, Junior.
Two times in this movie, that kid just had to jump from a moving vehicle.
Boat.
Oh, three times. There you go. The boat, the plane, and the bus. The bus was more ridiculous, I think, because the guy kind of just stopped.
He almost got run over by the plane, though.
Oh, God, yeah. That was sketchy, because you know that wasn't the green screen or anything.
No!
And that wasn't, like, any sort of, there was no CG effects.
That was some Twilight Zone doing it live shit.
That was a fucking stuntman.
Doing it live.
And he almost got hit by a fucking plane. It was scary as fuck. It was definitely scary as fuck.
Get out of here, kid. Now don't get run over.
Because, I mean, if it was green screen, we saw the green screen effects in this movie.
They weren't very good.
And they were shit.
Yeah.
They were complete shit.
It looks like if you cut a picture out of MS Paint and put it up against another completely different picture in the background.
Yeah. It was just ridiculous. Yeah, you keep speaking of old people. There's some old people that Davey meets throughout the movie. He runs into them a couple times. He thinks that they're trying to help him. They just seem like innocent old people. They end up being the masterminds behind the entire operation.
Just goes to show and proves my theory.
Don't trust old people.
Never trust old people. No. No. I live with them. I don't trust them.
They could... They could be trying to blow up your best friend.
Kidnap you. There's so much kidnapping.
Yes, lots of kidnapping. And gunshots. And Morris was shotgunned down while playing the video game.
Probably jerking off.
Okay. You're saying it's okay to say about Morris jerking off, but when me and Ryan mentioned the dad bringing his son into the bedroom while undressing...
You guys are making kitty rape jokes. That's fucking weird.
What the fuck do you think Morris is doing?
Yeah, you're talking about Morris jerking off while playing the game while Davey's sitting right there.
I thought that he was gone.
He was gone when he got shot, but not when he initially gave him the game and got a boner over playing it.
Well, I find certain jokes have been poor taste. I have a highbrow comedy preference.
It sounds like it.
Then yep. You must be a Harold Ramis fan.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Get out.
But the old people, he figures out that they're behind it because the person they're supposed to drop off the game to has three fingers. And the old woman has three creepy fingers. And... And she just so strategically just happened to have, like, oh, they were all together. I think it would have been creepier if it was, like, one over here and, like, you know, like this. She had, like, a fucking, like, lobster
Wolf
claw.
Pack.
A fucking Jimmy Snuka hand going on. But yeah, and then the kid gets chloroformed by the old people.
Oh,
like, this
I
kid
fell
goes through some,
that.
Like, fucked up parts.
And they put him in the trunk with his dead friend.
Yeah.
Who said that?
But after they chloroformed him.
Yeah, he hid in the trunk with the dead friend at one point. But then he was also chloroformed and stuck back in the trunk with the dead friend.
Oh my god.
And then Davey escapes the one time, and he's literally the worst driver ever.
Well, hell yeah.
I mean, granted, he's only like 10 years old. But he crashes into everything.
He let Terry and Melton did.
And then one guy goes, "Don't shoot at my car." And the car's already fucked up anyways. And then 5 seconds later, he's shooting at his car. Like, what the fuck did you just say to not shoot at your car for?
He realized it wasn't going to get any better. I mean, he better accept the situation.
And this is when you learn that they put a bomb on Kim in her walkie-talkie. And it's enough explosives to blow her up and half her neighborhood.
I missed the part where they actually put it in.
Oh, they didn't show that part.
Okay.
They just said that they did.
Alright.
And it actually was in there. And then, the kid also, another near-death experience, he's in the phone booth, and they go crash into the phone booth with the fucking van. He narrowly escapes. Like, what a traumatic experience for this child.
Thanks to Jack Flack, he survived.
Like,
that
and
one.
The only scrape he got was he scraped his knee on the ground, and which caused him to limp for some reason the rest of the movie, and he was barely running when he scraped his knee.
He had a boo-boo.
Yeah, he had a boo-boo. So then, he... makes the one guy shoot his friend with the machine gun on accident. He's like, "But you're not a good shot with the machine gun!" And starts running in zigzags.
"I'm gonna taunt you!"
Yeah. And he shoots the other guy. And then he picks up the gun because the imaginary friend tells him to.
Jack
I guess
Flack.
We haven't really talked much about Jack Flack, the imaginary friend. He's
there the whole movie.
He's there the whole movie.
Guiding this child.
Through all the thick and thin. And he's the one that tells him to go back to with the bad guys. He's like, "You can't just go straight towards the goal. You gotta take down the bad guys and blah, 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 blah."
Yeah.
It's just like, what the fuck is going on? But I mean,
it's in his
head, though, so it's him saying it to himself, essentially. And the kid's like, the guy thinks he has the red goo inside the gun again. And he's like, "Well, I got real bullets. I'm gonna shred you to meat.
In 3 seconds.
And he's like, "But you know what? I'm not going to shred you into meat. I'm going to take out both your kneecaps and then shoot you in the stomach and then just watch you
and
die.
And you're going to beg for death, but I'm going to let you bleed out."
Yeah. Like, what the fuck? It's like fucked up for a kid's movie. Like, they're going to watch, this guy's going to shoot the kid in the kneecap stomach and then watch him just bleed out and die. And then... the part I really don't understand about this movie.
Which part?
This part in the end. When the guy shoots the wall where Jack Flack is standing, who is an imaginary person. but somehow he's projected onto the wall.
Yeah, the child somehow projected his inner psyche to distract the assailant, and while he was busy shooting...
Is that the consensus as to what happened?
I guess. I mean, in extreme situations of duress, people can do superhuman things. Like, my baby is trapped under a vehicle. I'm going to lift it up, even though I weigh 70 pounds.
Yeah, but, like...
I don't know. It was a projection of his mind onto the wall. Distracted the guy so he could, you know... I don't know where he shot him. But he put one bullet into him, and the guy fell into the river.
Because yeah. Jack Flack, he shot him, it was like...
And Jack Flack told him to pick up the gun and shoot him. Shoot him! Shoot him!
But then, yeah, so he shoots the guy. Maybe he shot him in the head. Maybe he shot him in the head.
I don't know. I didn't hear any Quake-esque headshot.
No. But, okay, so it says, look it. During the fight, Jack Flack urges Davey to set the two spies into crossfire, causing one to kill the other. He then convinces Davey to pick up the gun of the dead spy. When he is then concerned, Jack Flack attempts to a distraction, causing Davey to look off to the side. Thing that's makes so much more sense than what you're saying. Davey looks off to the side, making it seem as if somebody else was arriving. Look over there! And the guy shoots over there because he thinks somebody else... Because he yells, he goes, Jack! And he thinks somebody else is arriving, so that guy shoots over there. That makes so much more sense than this child
obviously a projection projecting of his subconscious onto the wall.
The guy looked over there, acknowledged that there was nothing, and emptied a clip into the wall anyway.
He didn't, he just immediately shot.
But he kept shooting.
Yeah, because he has a machine gun. Regardless.
I'm still sticking with the crazy story.
Alright, we'll stick with the crazy story.
Psychic child.
Yeah, but then... Davey is like, I'm done playing this game, I'm done! So he's finally battling his inner demons, defeating them, and he watches his imaginary friend die right in front of him.
That's only
blood just pouring out of him.
That's only because when Jack was being the distraction...
He got shot fucking a million times.
Yeah, but he couldn't be hurt because he was a figment of Davey's imagination. But when Davey said, I'm done with this, he smashed his little... D&D figure.
Yeah.
And that made Jack mortal.
Yeah. Like Freddy Krueger. Like when they bring him into the real world from the dream world.
Yeah.
And then you can kill him. Davey shot him. Davey, we just didn't see this. And Davey's like, fuck you, Jack!
Yeah, we don't know the other side of the story.
No.
Just murdered him. Cold blood.
There's so much violence.
And you know what else was in this movie? Louis Anderson.
Yeah.
And Neil deGrasse Tyson.
It wasn't Neil deGrasse
Tyson. They didn't even fucking
Tyson.
Say anything.
He
they
did
just,
have a line.
Well, he like turned to him and was like,
"Aah. He's like, you want to snort this crystal meth off the car
horn? One day I'll jump off of a high jump into a pool on TV.
I was in Coming to America.
And Family Feud.
Coming to America at least is like a decent credit.
Well, Family Feud is not, so that's why I said it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Louie.
Life with Louie.
That's what it was called, Life of Louie.
Yeah.
Life with Louie.
Yeah.
It was a cartoon. I liked it. It was funny.
I did watch Life with Louie.
It was a funny cartoon.
But remember when he was
Life with Louie should combine with Bobby's World.
They were kind of similar.
Yeah, they were.
The art styles.
Do you remember?
And they both moved on to be game show hosts.
What was the...
They did. I think Howie Mandel, a little bit more successful than... he's been on multiple game shows and been pretty consistent.
He had a little more successful face.
Yeah. He's still on that other show. What's that? Talent?
I want to use Lee Anderson to open my beer bottles.
There is someone on IMDb that makes an argument that kids... This is what we were saying earlier. The kids are namby-pambies, and they're softer these days because of technology. But also, like, I don't know, like, the Goonies, they're I feel softer. Like, was comparable to, like, this kind of shit where it was like, what the
there
fuck?
There is almost child murder in Goonies, I guess, but yeah. It's not as extensive as this.
No, there but are... I mean, it, a lot of 80s kids movies were always like,
I mean, if
what?
Kids these days saw Sloth, they would wet their pants.
Yeah.
Maybe.
They, well, would, they also... wouldn't embrace the hey you guys.
But I mean, I'm gonna have my kids watch that stuff.
Well, if you look at PG 80s movies today, like, they'd never get away with that
Transformers,
shit.
The movie's PG, and they say shit and damn in it. It's a cartoon.
Right.
So, I mean, it happens. Anyways, the end of this movie is absolutely just as ridiculous as the rest of the movie. They go to the airport. The girl has a bomb on her. Nobody knows. She's trying to tell the police at the airport that there's some shit going down. They're like, what the hell is this little girl talking about? She knows so much. She's 8 years old. She's giving me life lessons, telling me about how
she sold me a carton of cigs.
She's trying to convince the a cop he should divorce his wife. He's not happy. He needs to move on. You know, whatever. She's a therapist, apparently. Yeah. And Dr. Lady Ace. But then Davey runs into her, grabs the bomb. He gets held hostage by the old people. Who he tries to convince her his parents so he can get kind of close to them to get the game.
Yeah.
I have a huge problem here coming up that I just thought about. And they're on the plane. They kidnap Davey. How did his dad get in the pilot seat?
Yeah, I wasn't sure about that.
I don't know.
Somehow
he was at the airport.
Yeah, his dad was at the airport and knew everything was going on. And somehow ran out there and switched places with the pilot or something. Maybe when they said they need a pilot, he just ran
it's
out
me.
There. It's me! Because he had the hat on his military.
He was in the Air Force.
Yeah, so he just looks like, oh, okay, you know, or whatever. And so the bomb's about to blow up. And then when they go to defuse it, they're like, the guy's just like, I don't know! like you had nobody told you anything about this bomb. Like if you somehow
they were double crossed.
They weren't double crossed
by the people who gave the handoff that also died. It was like an insurance policy.
They weren't double crossed by them. The old people weren't. The bomb wasn't with them. The bomb was with the little girl. They didn't know the little girl was gonna show up.
But the people they had the trade off with were the ones that set the bomb.
Yeah, but just to blow up the little girl. Not to blow up them.
Just to blow up the little fucking girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they want their cartridge back.
Yeah, they just wanted to blow up the girl.
But the old people already had the cartridge
at
that point.
But they just wanted to blow up the little girl and half her neighborhood. They didn't know the little girl was going to show up at the airport.
They did just.
The bomb was on
up.
The little girl because it was in her walkie talkie.
What does the cartridge have to do with it?
They just wanted the car. They got the cartridge. It was all accomplished.
Yeah, that was already over and done with.
Yeah.
They
just still
wanted to
kill the kids.
Vengeance. Oh, yes.
They knew too much.
Okay. Revenge killing.
Yeah, and they knew too much. They couldn't let them
silence those children.
Yeah, so blow them up and shoot them.
I thought maybe get rid of all of the evidence because we already got the payoff, but then it didn't work out the way they planned and they all died anyway.
No, the payoff was happening and they already got it and it's happening. That's why they're on the plane. They're getting on the plane to Mexico City.
No, I'm talking about the people that died.
Oh, like, they already got their money.
Yeah, but they're all dead.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yes.
Like, the bomb was planted before they died. So
yeah,
I
just
thought,
but just to blow up the little girl.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it might have been, like, an insurance policy.
No.
But there's no way to reverse it because they were all dead.
No, it was simply just to blow up the little girl. She just so happened to show
up. Maybe
I'm
thinking too far into it.
You are thinking too far into it.
Then they held her over the canyon before that. I don't know. Obviously, they weren't terribly sympathetic to children.
No, they weren't. But then the plane blows up. Davey gets off just in time out the window. His dad shoves him out. The plane blows up with the old people in it. And Davey and the game cartridge. And so his dad ends up being alive. Green screen. Walking out of the flames. It just ends with dad love. Just hugging. I miss you, dad. I love you. Crying. Fade to black. My issue is here. Shouldn't they have tried to grab that cartridge? Didn't the military and FBI or something want that cartridge to begin with? Like, they didn't want those bad people to have it?
But they already had the information.
The point of this movie?
No, they didn't. Why did the FBI guy hand it off if they had the information? It was only on that cartridge. It's blown up, gone forever. Now the military will never be able to make those jets we saw the plans of.
Stealth bombers?
Yeah.
They've got plenty of them.
Yeah, but they couldn't make them in 1984. We had to wait like 8 years.
Yeah, till they found another Cloak and Dagger game.
How did the bomb even get on the plane? Because the little girl wasn't on it.
No, he grabbed it because he knew that Davey knew the bomb was in the walkie-talkie, so he didn't want her to blow up. So he grabbed it, then they kidnapped him. But I don't think the old people knew that was the extreme measure that their lackeys took to blow up, to kill a small child, was to put a giant bomb that could blow up an entire plane on this little kid. Yes. They were going to just... That's how bad they wanted to kill this little girl.
Yeah.
And she really didn't even do much.
She ran her mouth.
She just smoked cigarettes.
Yeah. Many cigarettes.
So the moral of the story is, don't play video games.
Or smoke cigarettes.
By the way, who composed this, the music for this movie, Brian May, not the same Brian May as from Queen.
That's unfortunate.
He's just a film composer. Mad Max, Nightmare on Elm Street movies, Dr. Giggles.
Night at the Opera.
Yeah, we need to watch that Phantom of the Opera movie I downloaded with Robert Englund as the Phantom. The 90s Phantom of the Opera movie I never knew existed.
That sounds terrifying. Sounds worse than the Gerard Buttface one.
No, this looks fucking... It looks terrifying.
That's Robert Englund.
Do you remember it looks like a the horror Gerard Buttface one?
Yeah, I never watched it. But this looks like a horror movie almost.
Oh.
And Robert Englund is the...
Robert Englund was Freddy Krueger.
I know who he is.
Okay. Then why does it sound awful?
Insulted. Because it's a Phantom of the Opera with Robert Englund.
It might be good. I don't know. But I downloaded it, so we'll have to watch it. But yeah, Cloak and Dagger was ridiculous. It's definitely an 80s movie I never seen. I remember seeing bits and pieces growing up because I would always get it confused with Flight of the Navigator.
Yeah.
And Henry Thomas was also in that, right? That was him?
I know he was the kid
in Flight of the Navigator. So somehow I always got this crossed with that.
I don't have any Henry Thomas visceral is still memory in a lot of this movie, but I remember a lot of Henry Thomas. I absorbed a lot of stuff that boys watched because I grew up with boys in my neighborhood.
Well, I guess it wasn't Henry Thomas in Flight of the Navigator. The kid just looks a lot like him.
It was just a weird pseudo kid.
Yeah, this kid looks a lot like him. It's not him, though. It's some other kid. Joey Kramer.
No.
Joey Kramer. Anyways, yeah, so this movie was pretty, pretty out there for a kids' movie. Lots of violence towards kids. It was bizarre, and it was like this crazy kid with this imaginary friend, and he's wanting to kill people. And there's some deep layers to this movie.
The only movie that's out like this now that I could think of that would be Pan's Labyrinth, and it's not for kids.
No, it's not.
I just pulled that out of my
ass. Or anything like this movie.
Well, according to Manfred Kratz from Germany, Cloak and Dagger is the best American movie I've ever watched. Every child should get the possibility to watch this movie.
Whoa.
The movie is old, but is that a reason to not watch it? The acting of Henry Thomas, who played the friend of E.T. in the past, was brilliant. Every moment, every second of this movie was exciting. Small boy disappointed by his father in reality was living with a man in his fantasy. Who was every moment he needed him at place.
Oh, whoops.
The boy was hunted by criminals who wanted to get an computer game from him. But together with his friend in fantasy, he escaped every time and did his best to keep the game with him. At the end of this movie is a great explosion, and the boy thinks his hero is dead, but he is alive. But not in this way. He has him in his mind. The hero who comes out of the explosion is his own father. From now on, his father is his hero, and the boy is forever back in reality.
If you didn't notice that from the opening scene, considering his hero and his father are played by the same actor.
The best ending part I have ever seen. The German name of the movie is Ein Toglatis Spiel. I'm proud to get this movie on an old VHS tape with the original cover after a long time I was searching for. I will keep this videotape as strong as the boy did keep his computer game, Cloak and Dagger.
Oh my god.
This movie was perfect. It's
dedication. Wow. Must be nice.
Nothing can top that review. Nothing could possibly top that review. There's nothing that could ever top that.
I like that he pointed out how well Henry Thomas evaded the destruction of the disc or the tape.
He took very good care of his video
game. Until the ultimate destruction of the tape at the end.
Yeah.
With disregarding that completely.
So if you want to watch an 80s movie with some, like, if you miss the way kids movies used to be, and you're always like, man, I love how movies used to be, like Goonies and Gremlins and
Cloak and Dagger
and Little Monsters, check out Cloak and Dagger. It's definitely along the same lines, just takes things a little bit more to the extremes.
Yeah.
On Netflix, it still says recommended for 8 to 10 year olds, so I guarantee this is in the family section if you go to family on Netflix.
Sure, probably is.
So there you go. Jeez. It's a pretty ridiculous movie. Next week, recommended to us, since we had mentioned Rowdy Piper on this podcast before, talking about They Live, we're going to watch the 1988 action comedy sci-fi Hell Comes to Frogtown.
Kaboom! Boom.
Kaboom. Hell is the name of the hero of the story. He is prisoner of the women who now run the USA after a nuclear biological war.
Isn't his name Sam Hell?
His name is Sam Hell.
What in the Sam Hell?
What in the Sam Hell? There's a bunch of people in this movie I have never heard of.
Well, because they're famous frog actors, dude.
Yeah, duh.
Well, I figured there might have been one person
who would expand your horizons.
Recognize their name or something, you know? Whole lot of nobodies. But yes, this movie was recommended to us on our Facebook page. You too can recommend some movies. Like, we also have the recommendation for Two Bits and Pepper. Joe Piscopo playing dual roles. Two horses that talk as well. Two little girls. Old men. Chaos. But we didn't want to pay the $2 to watch it on Amazon Instant.
I'm going to watch Milo and Otis.
I'd much rather watch Two Bits and Pepper than watch Milo and Otis.
Two Shits and Pooper.
Two Shits and Pooper. But we're not going to watch Two Shits and Pooper. We're going to watch Hell Comes to Frogtown next week, episode 70 of B-Movie Breakdown. I'm Corey.
I'm Gina.
I'm Ryan.
Touch boobs.
Harold Ramis.
Harold goddamn Ramis.
It's the best of the worst.